I hope you're tucked in, cause you are now in bed with Dr. Sue. Dr. Sue.
Hi guys, it's moi, Dr. Sue. Remember when I said I was going to take some time off from the show till the new year? Well, I lied. But only because I had to bring you this amazing woman, author Darlene Burns. And it was important for me to get this to you before Halloween, because Darlene has written an awesome vampire series that starts with Midnight Comes with the Dawn, The Vampire Plague. This lovely woman has brought to you a very colorful cast of characters, unlike any other vampire series you've ever read. Because here she has a cast of powerful women as all the lead characters, something that you'll soon see is very important to her. Sprinkle that with the obvious eroticism that comes with these creatures of the night. Only let's have some of them be lesbians and maybe even a transgender, and this book pretty much catapults you into a realm no one that I know of has ever touched on before. Now, don't get me wrong, this isn't an LGBTQ-themed book, although there are threads in there. This is more about humanity and human beings than it is a character's sexual preference. Darlene was quite open, honest, raw, and emotional when we talked. And don't think this is your average let's talk about a book interview. We cover everything from her coming out to the influence of both her mother and her fifth grade teacher as a writer. I know you're going to enjoy Darlene as much as I did, and even more so, charge up your Kindle. You're going to love Midnight Comes with the Dawn. Here's Darlene Burns.
We have with us today the insanely beautiful Darlene Burns, the erotica author extraordinaire.
Thank you.
And just in time for Halloween, yes. Too. And do tell. Well, let's go back in your own history and let's talk about you first before we get into the juice of the book.
Okay.
What prompted you to start writing?
It's actually, it's a cute short story. What happened was I had a brilliant elementary teacher in the fifth grade. Her name was Mrs. Block, may she rest in peace. And she was 5'1". Short lady, cute, but very aggressive in her manner of teaching. And she was always a person where you could go to get a hug in the morning, but she was very, very much like, I see your talent and I know I'm not going to pick on you, but I'm going to make you very aware of what I think you are very talented in. Even at a young age, as 11, she could see a potential in me that I wanted to go outside and play. I want to go play tetherball. Hello. I don't want to read and write poems. That's not me yet. I didn't know that.
Right.
But she saw something in one of the poems I had written. It was a school assignment, of course. And she says, I think you have something, a potential here. She says, I want you to write a book report. It can be about whatever you want to write about. She says, but I want you to find something unique and just write about it. And what was funny was, I went to a museum exhibition with my mother, and they were featuring Toulouse-Lautrec, and I was just amazed by his artwork. I was just astounded by just what I saw, and I wrote my first book report about his artwork. And at 11 years old, who writes about art?
and Toulouse-Lautrec of all people, like, wow.
Exactly. And so when I took it to school, I was so embarrassed because she read it in front of the class. Now, could you imagine in the mid-70s, an African-American child reading about an old art, you know, this painter, a French painter that no kid, it's like, what were you doing? Like, were you on this week, on the weekend, you're writing a book report about a painter that no one knows about? But
exactly.
It was something that captured what I wasn't really going through anything. I was from a two-parent home. Everything was fine. I have two sisters. I'm the oldest of three siblings, two sisters. And it was just something that just struck me that I was in awe of. And when I got an A, of course, on the book report, but it was the way she was passionate about the fact that I wrote about it, and that it, the way I wrote about it. And she says, you have a gift. She says, now, I don't know if I'll be able to help cultivate this for you. She says, but don't lose your passion for this. And I didn't know what it meant, but she told my mother. And,
okay.
And my mother said, go to the library. Now, for me, there's always a place that is a place of refuge, and that is the library or the bookstore. And if it wasn't me going outside, which was like the best thing in the world at the time, it was either ice cream trucks,
yes, that's so true.
my orange thunder, which was my bicycle at the time, it was orange and black. It was or it was the going to the library. And when I stepped into the library and the smell of the books, it was like euphoric, and it was almost a natural high. And so when I went into the school library, I was like, where did this place come from? It was like surreal. Like, where did you guys just build this? Like, seriously. And I didn't wow. even know how I was going to take it. And again, this all happened within almost the last 2 years of elementary school, that it was just an awakening of a whole new world that I could just have something to myself. And when I started reading, it was automatic. I picked up books, I think, every other week I was reading. And my mother saw it because she's an avid reader. I mean, I could show you pictures of her library to this day. I mean, I think she reads about anywhere close to maybe 10 books a month, I think she reads about. But at the time she saw it, she says, I don't care what it is. She says, well, I care what you read about, but she said, start small. Don't over-challenge yourself. Don't bog yourself down with something too heavy. She says, just grab, feel it out. Look at covers. See what kind of grabs your attention. And what I did, I'm such a girly girl, I picked pretty covers. The ones that look, you know, with flowers on them.
Yeah.
Horses running, you know. And I would just read the little flap on the inside, and I would just start to read. And then they were okay. It was, you know, I read Judy Blume and things of, you know, that didn't, at the time, I didn't think they were controversial, quote unquote, but mm-hmm. it was just very interesting reading because I could get away. It was an escape. But then the next year when I got ready to graduate from elementary school to junior high, my mom gave me Stephen King.
You did what I did back then too. Did you not just sink your teeth into those?
It changed the game for me because
yep.
I was not into horror yet, but I was, mm-hmm. So of course, you know, in that era you had the Monsters reruns coming on, you
yep.
had
Adam's Family,
you had all of the film festivals of the, you know, the what they called horror back then, slow animation, and so all of these things were coming on, but it wasn't horror yet, and the right. and the cult stuff that I could watch it over, you know, past 8 o'clock at night. So the fact that she gave me the very first book, I could not believe that someone first of all wrote this, and then I was so scared, but I couldn't stop reading it. It was Pet Sematary.
I was just going to say, what was the book? Yes. Pet Sematary is killer for a lot of people.
And it scared me so much because then, of course, I had to have the light on. And then in my house, the electricity bill was, like, astronomical if you kept it on past 5 minutes.
Yep.
If you're not in the room, you don't turn the light on at all if the lights go off. So to have the light on in my room past 8:30, it was like, what are you doing in there? And I was sneaking, reading the book because I couldn't put it down, but I was scared to death.
Right.
I had the light on. So I had to hurry up and read. And so that was my beginning of speed reading. So that and the culmination of talking to my mom, you know, the next day of bringing me down from being so scared. She says, okay, this is what I want you to do. So that was an exercise of getting me through the fear of not keeping the light on at night. She says, during the day, Mm-hmm. Give yourself an outlet of happy. I know you have a passion now, and I know you can't stop it. She says, go to your little happy shows or go outside, give yourself a break. She says, at least an hour. And I was like, an hour for all my books? She says, I know. It's not going to kill you. Go and give yourself an hour of happy, and then come back, finish it up, then go back to the happy. And that's what I did. And then I started to pick up other books that I tried to find like his. But of course, at that time, you know, he wasn't putting books out like every week. So I had to find other authors.
I know.
Of course, they weren't touching him. So I had to go to comics to start to try to get that kind of like a hunger, but it never quite satisfied. And that was a short stint of the comics too, because I said, no, I need novels.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I think you're either a comic person or a novel person, even though I know you can be both. It's still, I don't know, it's almost like if you're a hardcore novel person, you're not really usually going to be a comic person.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's hard to make the distinction because they're both still can grab your attention.
Oh, absolutely. But they're both in works of art.
Right, but with a novel, you can create your own image. But with a comic, if the image is already there placed for you, so you can't quite use your own imagination. And that's what's mm-hmm. so great about, you know, the fact that a novel doesn't give you the images. You have to create it in your mind, and I think that's one of the things that is brilliant about people that don't quite grasp that. You can kind of be a lover of both, but it's almost, yeah, you kind of be one or the other.
You're going to have a passion.
Yeah.
For one. I think that's more what it is. You can appreciate both,
mm-hmm.
but you're going to have a passion for one or the other.
Yeah, and that's what
I agree. The novel, I can't also express, like, I know what you're talking about. A comic, even a graphic novel, to me, is very limiting, and it's difficult to write.
Yes.
Because it's limited.
Yes.
So I have great respect for everybody who does that. Mm-hmm. So that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you have this love of King. I completely get it. He was my person of choice back then, too. And I loved, the best thing about King was his ability to be able to take an inanimate object and make it scary.
Yes.
Like a car.
Yes.
I remember picking up the Christine and I just kind of went, oh, please, yes. This is going to be so stupid.
Right.
Right. Like, all right. And then you're just like, how the hell does he do this?
Yeah,
this is so brilliant.
How did he do Cujo? How did he do, you know, Tommyknockers? It's like, what are you doing at that desk that makes you go into those places? And now as a writer, now I know what that formula is like. But at that time, I'm thinking, what are you sitting there at that typewriter? For those of you who don't know what that is.
Thank you.
What is your thought process? And for me, you after that first paragraph and you're pulled in, it's like, it's so easy for us as a reader, like you dive in and you're pulled in and then you're page after page. But as the writer, it's like, where does your mind go to pull all of that out? And it's a totally different, it's two different worlds. A reader and a writer, it's totally two different monsters.
Completely. Yeah. Yep. They are two different animals for sure.
Yes.
So that, you know what, that's really sweet, and I'm really glad to hear that teacher was the one who wanted to cultivate you and wanted to at least show you what you had inside of you. You know, bless her.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, there's not a lot of teachers that do that, but that's amazing.
Yeah. I was very excited, and when I tell that story, and I talk about my mom, and I talk about how I love so much of the fact that I recognized later on what she did, what was so pivotal to, at that, well, I wish I had the ability to go back in time and go, you have something, hold on to that. And because I didn't hold on to it, what I did was I tried to excel in English classes to learn more about the English language and learn about how to use grammar and structure and whatnot, but not mm-hmm. apply it to writing. So it was more towards creative writing, not storytelling. And so
right.
I didn't think of the two together until high school. And so, again, another teacher. And that's what here's my thank yous to teachers who take the time, and when they see someone, and it doesn't matter if it's writing or if they see somebody who has potential in any area, math, whatever. If you guys see anybody and you guys are taking that moment out of your day, which I know is absolutely frantic in this day and age, even back then.
Oh, crazy.
I thank you so much for taking that 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever, to say, you know what, I see something, and what do you need? It's so important to encourage that, and you don't know what you do, or you don't know what you've done, because sometimes you don't think about it, because there's so much else going on in that child's life or a young adult, that teen, that they don't hear it enough, or they don't hear from someone that they're thinking, I hope she says something, or, you know, you're so scared and looking for that approval. And then here's that one person that sees it without you even realizing and wants to help cultivate that. So I just want to say thank you to anyone who recognizes it, sees it, and wants to help and take you further.
100%. I mean, it just, you have no idea what the smallest little thing that you say to a child will have such a profound effect on them. And to be able to cultivate someone's natural talents in whatever, like you said, whatever, it doesn't matter what it is. It's a beautiful thing for someone to do that to someone else. Yeah. It's because we're all constantly being told what we can't do.
Right.
It's nice to hear what you can do from time to time.
You know? Yeah, it's an amazing thing, the human condition, because we're at some point, and I know I probably would get beat up for saying this, but we're all looking for that hug, or we're all looking for that kind of sense of approval. And
the pat on the back.
You know,
everybody
to say, hey, you are doing a good job. I am? Really? You know, thanks. Like, and you don't necessarily feel like you need it. But it's nice to have it recognized, and you feel like, oh, I am doing something, or I am making a difference. So, yeah.
Which actually brings to mind the importance of people doing book reviews. If you get a book, I constantly do this, but if you get a book from Amazon, from anywhere, I don't care where you're getting it from, and you have the ability to leave any kind, you know what? You don't even have to, nobody cares. It would be nice if you wrote something, but even if you don't write anything, just, it's a way for that author to get that pat on the back, and it keeps them wanting to write. So if you enjoyed what they did, even if you know, in a lot of cases, even if you didn't, provided you're not a troll about
right.
it, you know, show me what I did wrong.
Right.
Nobody has a problem with that if it's done constructively.
Correct.
So, you know, go right ahead, but just, please, always, always, always leave that feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Please. It's so important.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So now we know where you got your love of the occult from. But, and I'm going to bring this up, and part of me, it bugs me that I'm bringing this up. And you are an advocate, are you not?
Yes, I am.
Now, the reason why it bugs me that I'm bringing this up, because I should not have to point out the fact that you are a lesbian writer.
Yes.
Because to me, it shouldn't make a goddamn bit of difference.
I know.
But at the same time, you're also, because you're in that genre and you are able to speak, you are using that as a platform. And I think that's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you.
So tell us about it.
Initially, and that's funny, initially I did not want to use that. And here's the only reason why I did it. Because the way it was presented, it was the way that my previous because I was with a publishing house before, an independent publishing house. He wanted to market it in a way that was going to be quote unquote commercial. And he wanted to use the LGBT community, he says, because they'll be more embracing to me because I am. And I felt like that wasn't the right way
No, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I don't like the fact that we're pointing out the fact that you're a lesbian.
Right.
What does it matter? I'm hetero. I'm a freaking breeder.
Right.
What does it matter?
Yeah,
seriously, why are we pointing this out at all unless
right.
you are writing specifically for that community?
No.
I get that. And that, I don't get that's what you're doing.
Right. And it kind of hurt me for about a week. He said, just give it some thought. He says, just give it some thought and give back to me. He says, before we do any type of press release, before we, you know, you redo your bio, before we do anything for further, he says, just sit on it and tell me what you think. So I had to go back and consult my family And my daughter came to me and she says, you know, Mom, it took you 22 years to become the woman that you are. You're proud of who you are. She says, and these characters are going to be embraced by everybody. They're who you created, and you just put it out there. She says, everybody's going to love them anyway, and just do it.
And oh, what a beautiful thing to say, honestly.
Yeah, so
to hear that from your daughter, oh, my Lord, Darlene, you have raised a gem.
Thank you. So
honestly,
that's what I did. She told me, just do it, Mama, and that's what happened. And that's what's funny is that the people that are embracing it aren't, I want to say not the majority. I think it's almost half and half. That have, you know, they don't care. They're like, the characters are great, and I mean, the feedback has been, that's why I wrote it, because I didn't write it in a way that it couldn't be embraced by humankind, because that's what the book is about, humans.
And that's just it. So we'll just go, it's about vampires, duh. So think about that, though. When you think about vampire novels and Anne Rice and all the work she did, and, you know, it really is, when you're using vampires as a, not a platform, I keep using that word, but when you're using them, it is about, you get into these very amazing sort of humanitary issues,
mm-hmm.
because your character is deceased.
Right.
Right. So you get into these, you get into moral stuff and you get into religious stuff. And it's so fascinating.
Right. But there's two things that I did on purpose. I stayed away from religion and I stayed away from a main male character. And I do.
Thank you, by the way, because it gets boring. No, seriously. I mean, think about it. Dracula has been Dracula and he's been a guy the entire freaking time.
Ever.
Yeah. Okay. We're sprinkling some in now with the whole Twilighty thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's still there's no major female vampire character that I can recall.
No. And when you look it up, and as everybody says, Google it, the images that you see, you don't. And that's what really drove me to really make all of my main characters female. It's time to make females' empowerment come to light. We have a lot of strong female characters that are being written. And so I just felt like the timing is right. And if this gets into a visual media, that's what I'm going to push for. I will not change. That will be in my rights.
It's going to be in the contract. There's just no way that you are changing this to a male character.
No, my stance will be very firm. I didn't write that for them to be changed. There are male characters in my book, but they are not main. There is one main, if you've read the book, but they aren't the main ones. And so, and that was on purpose. As through the series, you will continue to see, as like I said, there's different humans and vampires, male and female, but my main characters will and always will continue to be female. So
let's tell them quickly, the book is called Midnight Comes with the Dawn, The Vampire Plague.
Yay!
And it's very yummy, and I have been reading it. It is intensely yummy. I love vampire books. I'm a vampire head, so I love reading all that stuff. And I love Midnight.
Thank you.
You did an amazing job with Midnight. So let everybody know who she is.
She is a very old vampire. She's She tries to stick to tradition because of her upbringing. She was a queen. She came into reign quite by accident. You'll read that. But when she became a vampire, she was actually trying to find herself. She's a woman that thought she knew who she was until she was born again. And then that's when she really became who she was. Midnight is a...
I was going to say, and we don't mean she was baptized either.
No, not at all. But she tapped into a part of her that she was already there, but once she was able to be free and really free of who she could really be, that's when she blossomed more or less and really kind of took off.
And she's powerful.
Yes.
That's what I love about this, is that she's a very powerful woman.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, you don't see that very often, which is why I love the fact that you have this going on. Now, is this going to be a series?
Yes.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, 5-book series.
So is this Get Out 5?
Yeah.
And this is book one?
Yes, it is.
When is book two coming out?
I was trying to make sure that it was going to be done for the winter, but it looks like it's going to be a spring release. So it is finished. I'm making a major announcement that I wasn't going. I hadn't planned on, but you are the first.
It's an exclusive.
So it is finished. So it is going to be going through the editing process within a month or so. I'm searching for the right editor this time. Not that I didn't have a right editor last time, but I'm looking for an editor now. So yeah, it's finished, and I'm excited because I will give you a tidbit. The third book. All of my books have already been written out. All of them were outlined first. Mm-hmm. They all have their formulas of with the sequence of what they're going to be going through. The third book will have a companion with it. And that's all I'm going to say about the third book.
I'm so excited about the third book.
Ooh.
And the third book, only for you, Dr. Sue, is about Adamina. That's all I'm going to say. So you know,
Adamina.
Yes, the third book is about Adamina, and if you're reading in the book, you know who Adamina is. So
yes, yeah. Adamina is like okay, that is okay,
yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah,
and I don't want to give it away either because I really want you guys to read the book because it's like it is getting so juicy and so crazy and it's very sexy.
Yeah.
It is a very sexy. Do you consider yourself an erotica author or just an author?
Author.
Do you just? Even though you have some very salacious bits and pieces in there.
Yeah, I wanted to, because women are sensual creatures. And again, I wanted to do something that was different. I didn't want it to be misogynist. I wanted to have it where you could, it does have a message. You go back and forth with these emotions, but I wanted to give you a break. I wanted you to have that moment where she says, oh, okay, you know what? I need a minute. So, and I give you that. And so then I give you the minute and then I get you back. Okay, let's get back to business.
It's a beautiful way. It's a beautiful formula that you've got going on because it really does. I think your influence from King has been shining through on this.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yay. I hope he listens to this.
Please. So would I.
Okay. You know.
Oh my God, that would be so cool.
Okay.
Put me on that.
It's amazing how you don't know what will influence you to do different things. And that's all I want to do is create work that you can be, that I can be proud of, but then other people are excited about it. And I get excited about that. You know, that somebody's excited about something that has been in my head for years and I put it down and someone else is excited about that. That's kind of.
Isn't it beautiful?
It is. It is.
And it's such an amazing feeling to know that someone else is embracing what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's so satisfying. And even, like I said, even that's why it's so important for you guys to talk to the authors and let them know what you think of their work, because that is what inspires your author.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what's like, she's got this whole thing lined out. 5 freaking books. And I can't wait to sink my teeth, RR, into all of them. Seriously. This is so amazing.
Thank you. Thank you.
So we know that the next one, what's the name of the next one?
The next one is Alex Races Against the Dawn.
Yes. This is really cool.
Yes. Now you can ask any questions about that if you wish. I will try to.
Well, yeah, we don't want to give it all away.
No.
That's the thing.
Yeah, I want to make sure that it's the same. Of course, it's the same formula, but it does a different turn.
Ooh, cool.
If you will. It's darker.
Ooh, okay.
It's more historical.
Mm-hmm. So we're doing more background?
Oh, yeah.
Finding out the players and how
very
they got
much,
there?
Yeah, and... yeah.
Okay.
You're getting Alex's perspective of what everything is about, her view of vampires, and her perspective of what it's like to be in an era where we're not always accepted. And that's where I'm gonna end it at.
Oh, that's gonna be beautiful.
Yeah. It was very emotional at the very beginning because she was made post slavery. So I'm taking you through a lot of stuff. And she has a best friend, and I take you through the gold rush. It's a lot. It's
wow.
And Chinese immigration. So it was interesting where I went, and it's funny, but it's going to be one of the darker books that'll be part of the series. It'll be the darkest.
Well, do you have a love of history? Because did you go back and like figure all this out and do all kinds of research for it?
Each one, the first Midnight, I didn't do as much as I will continue to do for each one. This one I definitely did. I had to do my homework for slavery, the Gold Rush, Chinese immigration. I had to to make sure that I had my dates right and where my stopping point was, because I had to make sure that it blended in with my formula, what I'm doing. And what's funny, and someone said it today, and it's eerie, but it's still funny. What you'll find is that I'm doing what Star Wars did. He went backwards. Right. And that's what my book is going to do. Midnight is actually the last of the collection. So you're reading it. You're going to be reading it backwards. So the last book will bring you to the beginning, which is weird. I know.
That is so cool. I really like that.
Yeah. So it was. George Lucas is a hero of mine. I had to say it like that. And so when I thought of how to do it differently, that's what I wanted to do, is how do you make a mark differently than anyone else? Oh, that's how you do it.
Do it backwards, yeah.
That's how you do it. And when people
that
go,
is brilliant.
How did you? Oh, now it makes sense. And that's and the person who, of course, I admire, my mother, who read it, she says, oh, now, okay, now I get it. Oh, now, I got it now, you know. And so when other people who were proofreading it, they, oh, now I get it. So it'll start to make sense when the third book, fourth book, and then the last book, and then it'll be complete, and, you know, I'll pull it all together.
I was just going to say the last book will be tying all those ends
up. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And
well, this character, Midnight, I'm curious about the characters, especially because I'm quite sure it sounds as though each book is going to have a different sort of focus, a different character to focus in.
Yes.
That's all right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that being the case, are these characters, these main characters of the series, based on anyone you know? Like I'm saying, you know, is Midnight based on your mom?
Yes.
Or? Yeah, here you go. I knew it.
Yes. Alex is based on an ex friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Iva is based on a YouTube personality that I know and absolutely adore. And Iva is the best character, and she's the most fun character. I love writing Iva. If I could write 5 books about Iva, I would. She's just an amazing character, and she's here's what's funny. I didn't know that I was writing about a transgender character until someone brought it to my attention. I think it was a reader. And she said, do you know you wrote about a transgender? I was like, I did. Yeah. Well, I didn't do it on purpose, but it developed.
Yeah,
it was just somebody who I knew. And you know, that people like her in particular have been in my life all my life. So she was just a person. But
yeah,
because
exactly.
They recognized who that person was or their orientation, then that was brought to my attention, and I was like, oh, okay. So now because of, you know, Caitlyn Jenner and all, you know, and Ms. Cox and all of that,
mm-hmm.
The awareness of it, she's like, you know, when that character, when that people start to read that, they're going to think you put that in on purpose. I'm like, well, they won't think that because this book was actually released in 2013. So they can't. So, and then I wrote the book in 2008. So there's no way that they could correlate those two. But again, that's what I'm saying, that there's people in our lives and it's human beings. We're not labels and we're not like these untouchable creatures. We're human beings woven into this fabric of humankind. And that's just who we are. It just so happens that we're LGBTQ and that's just it, you know?
Well, and okay. So you can also say the same thing, that you are also a woman of color.
Right. Yeah.
And again, this is what drives me mental, is why do we have to keep using that in the marketing?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're a woman of color. Again,
yeah.
Are you kidding me? Like, who cares? I don't care if you're pink. If you write good, who cares?
Right, right.
It's so stupid to me that, and I'm glad are you going to move away from it, or are you going to jump on it and really run with it? You think you're going to move away from it?
I think.
It's a tough call. I know.
Yeah,
because it really is. That's a hard decision to make because, you know, you don't want to abandon the community, but at the same time, you don't want to be known because of that.
Well, because I have a voice, and I've said this over and over again, and I'll do this because I'll be at a few speaking engagements. I have to be a voice. And so, yeah, I probably won't run away from it, and I don't mind being a voice. And so if someone says, do you mind, you know, making sure that this person is represented in a certain light? No, I'm not going to make sure, but she is already represented. I don't represent the whole community, but I don't mind representing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't bother me, but I will be the best representative that I can be. Although I don't represent everybody, I can't. That's just stop being realistic.
No, it's, yeah.
But I will create these characters, and so that you guys can be proud of them. That's all I can do. You know?
And clearly, okay, so you've run the gamut in this too.
Yeah.
You've got everybody covered.
Thank you.
And I don't think it's something that it's. And I don't want people thinking, oh, it's just going to be a bunch of, you know, LGBTQ pandering. That isn't what this is.
No.
I don't want you guys thinking that this is all just,
no, it's not. That's
you know, yeah. Lesbian sex every five. It's not what this is. That's not, just relax on that. That's why I don't like the fact that that's in there.
Right.
Because it doesn't need to be there. These characters stand on their own.
Mm-hmm.
They are absolutely wonderful, rich characters. It doesn't matter how they choose to A, express their love,
right,
or B, what color they are.
Right.
What does it matter?
Right.
And I think that a lot of people get into sci-fi for that reason too.
Mm-hmm.
Because the characters in sci-fi, you can make them completely androgynous.
Right. Right. And that's what was fun about the ending of this book, and what my mom's favorite line was about when it was revealed. She was like, she said, I love it. And when she said that, I knew I had done the right thing, because it was so hard for me to figure out how to tie it together. And it goes back to my original statement, which is we're all human. It doesn't matter. Black, mm-hmm. white, color, whatever you are, at the end of the day, we're all humans. And so that's the most important element. And everybody has a right to be here. And so that's kind of the premise of the book. Midnight, in her own right, has a right to fight for her survival of her species as well.
Mm-hmm.
Even though she's a vampire, she has a right to fight for hers too. So it was just astounding that I found myself in a place of, am I really going to make her fight for her right to be here? Yeah. Why not?
Why not? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
She has every right.
Yeah. Does she not have rights just because she's dead? Does that make her less than valued as a person?
Vampires matter too.
Right?
Come on. I think you're getting shit for that one.
Hold
up. You can't say vampire lives matter, though, because they're dead, so it doesn't kind of work. But vampires matter.
Right? No, I don't want to do that. But that's kind of what was very...
No, but it's true. Yeah. It doesn't... Yeah, like, it would be nice if everybody would look past color and look past your sexual orientation, because it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with, that's the thing is, and you know, it cracks me up. Does anyone in the hetero community sit there and talk about it? No. So why do you care what the next guy's doing? It doesn't make sense to me.
Right, yeah.
It's so
stupid. But some do. Some sit up and think that the first thing they see is like, what do they do? And you're wondering, that's not what we sit up and think about what you guys do. Because I was in a relationship with my ex-husband. You know, I'm not going to say I was considered bisexual at the time. I just was in love with my ex-husband and I was with men. And so, but I've always had an affinity for women. So that's a whole nother interview. But,
hey, don't think I won't call you on that.
I am here for that. But it wasn't a thing where I was always looking at someone else thinking that or questioning that. And I think that that's an uncomfortable conversation that people want, you know, are trying not to have. As they gravitate towards, what are they doing? Why are you worried about that? Don't you have something else to worry about besides what I'm doing?
Unless they're doing it on you.
Right.
What do you care?
Hello.
You know, like, it's not in your face.
Right.
Then don't worry about
we
it.
We got other things to focus on that are way...
Oh, my God, way more important than these issues. I mean, come on.
It's 2015, people. But, again, there are other issues that you're thinking, are you seriously... Are we still facing these issues? And unfortunately, we are. So
we are. And it's not, unfortunately, I don't think it's going to happen in our lifetime.
Right.
But, you know, hopefully we can make some form of stride, some little tiny mark, if you will, something.
Yeah.
I would just like to see, I'd like to see everybody get off the whole sexual orientation thing. What does it matter? Transgender, none of this matters. And the beautiful thing is more and more young people are poly. They're not willing to put themselves into these little labels and boxes, which I am loving. I am loving hearing that, where they're just like, well, I don't know. I don't consider myself gay, straight, bi, or anything. I just, you know, I love who I feel like loving. And that, to me, is so amazing.
And that's what will propel the next generation behind them.
Yep.
Like my children, my grandbabies will grow up with that. I want them to learn their history so they don't repeat it. But I also then want to embrace change and move forward with it, with the understanding of this is where you guys have come from, don't forget it, but move forward, and this is the change that comes with it, and keep it moving. It doesn't
have to... Yeah, don't dwell in the past.
No.
Don't. That becomes an issue. And it's like people out there turn and they look at everything in the past, and it's like, well, no, I have to keep fighting for that. No, you don't.
Right.
You look at it. Just like you said, look at everything that you've gone through. Learn from it. So you don't, like you said, don't repeat it,
right?
But don't dwell in
right.
it. Yeah. Don't think you have to make up for something that happened in the past either. It's gone.
Right.
Let it go.
Yeah.
It's time to
heal and move on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's not just the Black community. That's not just the LGBT community. That's, we're talking, you know, religious communities and everything else. Like, we're talking Muslims, and it's like, come on. Everybody needs to just
Right. Well, look, accept the differences that we have and move on, people. That's it. Like I said, humankind. It's about what you believe and what your faith is. If you don't have a faith, I can accept that and respect that and move on. Period. It doesn't have to be anything we have to get in depth and debate about. I don't have to feel like you need to know more about it. If that's your stance, respect it, move on. It's simple. It doesn't have to be like this whole cultural movement of people trying to convert you into those days are gone, of trying to convert a whole nation or a whole group of people to persuade you to stop that. It's too much. First of all, the internet.
You're beating your head against the wall.
Right.
Like, why? Like, and there is no one right way.
Right. It's too much of wealth of information, and to be able to educate yourself, reading even further to know about oneself and more spiritual awareness is a lot of stuff that you do and learn and grow. So, in that respect, again, do that. And keep it moving. And that's it. Just respect me at the end of the day. Give me three feet. I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all that I think we could, if we give each other the same respect, I think it just would be a little calmer. But then you have these
radicals.
And I'm going to say it, and then people get mad, write me, do that, you know where I am. There's the people that are quite not on the reservation that do need medication. They just are.
No, that's very true.
They just are. And it's just a fact. So it's there are going to be those out there that are just aren't with us. And it's just the way of the world. And that's okay. Because at least we know that we're never going to convert those. There are always going to be those people that are, you know, kind of off to the side. And that's just it. But if you can recognize that and say, okay, okay, I see you. Hey. Okay.
Hope you have a great day.
Okay, you take your, okay, you got your, all right, hey, baby.
That's great. As long as you're not armed, you just go right ahead.
Walking into a theater with a trench coat on. You know, that's what's troubling. And I think that's just, again, that's a whole nother interview, but just recognize what you see. And I think, and we're digressing, but I think that's kind of what goes back to me and the way I was growing up. And people don't look out for each other. People don't.
No, that's true. There's no sense of community
anymore.
We're
so sensitive about everything.
Yeah.
And we don't look out for each other's back anymore. There's no big family functions and dinners and block parties. Everybody is so like, you're going to call the police on me. No one is looking out for each other in such a loving, communicative way because everybody is so scared. And and so like, you're going to hurt my feelings and you're going to come on people. Where are we going as a society? But we have created this.
We have.
I can't not say it without the other. And this is something who I love, Whoopi Goldberg, shout out.
Yay, Whoopi.
We have created this society of where we have become this engine of being scrutinized. And then we get on Twitter and blast somebody out of the water for making a statement or saying an opinion, and then we stomped and almost stomped their soul out for saying something and almost to making them non-existent. And it's like, when did that happen? When did someone say something, unless it was a severely offensive or severely like totally just like, did he just say that? Or, you know,
pop culture case in point in this would be All in the Family.
Mm. Mm.
Could All in the Family come out now? Mm. Oh, hell no. There is no way. It would never see airtime. As a matter of fact, you don't even see it that much in the reruns because everybody's too damn paranoid to air it. And it was a brilliant piece of comedy.
Right. Yes. Yes. I enjoyed it. And even now, it's, believe it or not, it's relevant.
Of course
it is. It's relevant because
all the stuff is, nothing's changed.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Except
we're all too paranoid, and we're paranoid, and we are very beyond overly sensitive.
Right. Except, but though they had family values then, because it was like, it was such a social conscience going back then, but it was still being spoken about. But but the way they would tweet about it now, it wouldn't last a season.
Nope, it wouldn't.
Yeah. It
would be completely annihilated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's something, again, we've created. And it's almost kind of, where are we going now?
I know. It's kind of scary.
Right.
Because we are going backwards.
Yeah.
We are not moving forward. And people say to me, you know, we are in a Puritan society still.
Right.
And you can argue that point till the cows come home, but sorry, we are. And we have not progressed. Technology-wise, sure. Mm-hmm. But as a species?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord, we're not progressing at all, people.
Right. Right.
And how did we get on this? We went from vampires way, way, way. I love it. So it's like, okay, wait. Yeah, back to the book.
Yeah, let's get back.
Oops.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. I love it. I think it's great. I mean, seriously, we could like talk about this for hours and hours. I love it. Listen, but while I'm thinking of this and we're thinking about the book, who in the book Did, or I should, maybe you didn't. Is there a character that you think is closely related to yourself?
Dominique. She is the baby of the group.
Okay.
And I did her last because I think, in a way, there were still things at the time that I was writing it I still wasn't ready to deal with. Her storyline is very basic. She grew up in a very structured home life, very strict, and wasn't able to come out. And Midnight saw something in her and just had to have it, as selfish as she is. Midnight is selfish. She can be, I'm sorry. No, she is. But it was a way, she was becoming very volatile in her own way, where she didn't feel like there was any escape, that she couldn't be herself because of her upbringing. And so she was going to do something. And so Midnight did sense that. And so she said, no, I've got an option for you. And so when I thought of her vulnerability, I did think of myself in that way, as I think of a lot of, and this does go back to, I think, a lot of stories that I've heard about our community, especially LGBTQ teens, when they face different decisions, when they're disowned by their families, when they are confused, or they just don't know which direction to go into. There was a very, it still is, but at that time, it was a very high suicidal rate. The Trevor Project was, I was reading their statistic reports at the time, and it was just a very disheartening thing that I was reading that I couldn't imagine. And looking to my own children as a mother, like, how could I turn my back on my child because of who they wanted to be or who they wanted to be with? Like, like her? What? But, like, it just, the thought of that just kind of struck a chord in me. And so that's who Dominique really is. She's one of my unsung heroes, but she really kind of is, that's one of the characters that really hits home for me.
Did you have a hard time coming out?
22 years. Yeah, I would say, yeah. I didn't know where to go. I didn't know who to tell. I didn't know how to say it. Again, it was my daughter. And it was
really,
yeah, it was, we were extremely close, and we had started watching shows. I started watching Logo and different programming, and it was just like a simple conversation that we were having one night because we were watching a lot of RuPaul. And I said, Alicia, you know, I said, I want to say something. And she's like, well, what is it, Mom? And I'm just like, you know, I don't know. I think I want to share some things. And at the time, she was, I believe, she was 14 at the time. I think about 14. And she's like, well, come on. Like, come on. And so we had a conversation, and she hugged me and just laid her head on my chest, and she was crying for me. She was crying because she thought that it's been harder for me and that I couldn't be happy. And she says, and at the end of the conversation, I don't want to get too emotional, but she said, are you happy? And I said, yes. And she said, okay. She said, I can't wait to tell my brothers that I was the first. So it was just that was all that was important to me. I think that if my children weren't going to be okay with me coming out that year, because they were still in high school, right. I would have waited until they got out of high school, and then I would have, you know, kind of come out, because right. I didn't want to make it difficult for them. It was very important about their high school is, you know, it's like your montage of your life. It's like, okay.
Oh, high school is like the worst. So, yeah, you don't want to add to that pressure.
And so I didn't want to do anything to disrupt their studies, you know, their friends. I became mama then. Oh, my goodness. If I had known that the people would come to my house, I think I would have waited. I said, wait, you know, no, being gay didn't mean to come and eat in my house every day. That's not what that means.
Isn't that weird? Why did they do that?
I don't know, but my house became the teenage hangout to come and ask questions. Seriously, it became...
Well, you were probably the cool mom because you were gay.
I was, and it was better... It was better than them going out. They didn't go out hardly anymore. They were hanging out and watching TV. It became such a loving environment. And I guess I am going to get emotional. It became so, so wonderful that I didn't care about anybody else having my back, because my children made it so that no matter who was against me, they had my back at all times.
That's beautiful.
So, yeah.
And that is truly a blessing. That is absolutely lovely.
You know, and to this day, they're amazing. All three of them.
That is beautiful. You should be very, very proud as a mommy.
I am.
Because you obviously did an amazing job with them.
Thank you. Ooh, okay.
So, but this is a roller coaster, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
Is there anything you would like people to know either about the book or about yourself that we haven't covered?
I think, thank you so much, first of all, for having me on. This has been absolutely so amazing and so cleansing for me. And I can't thank you enough.
That's very sweet. Honestly, anytime, in case anybody's wondering, I came across Darlene in my Facebook group. We have a private Facebook group that is for women only called 50 Shades of... What have you? 50...
Oh my God, that's so bad!
50 Shades of Power. It's because I had two. I have 50 Shades of Power and 50 Shades More Powerful. But the Facebook group is 50 Shades of Power. And Tammy, who we've known for quite some time, is now doing your management. And she dropped it right into there. And Darlene is a member of the group, too. And I have to promote my girls.
Yay. And I'm so glad you did.
And the other thing is, if any of you ladies out there want to join 50 Shades Power, please feel free to do so. It is a private group. Anything that is said stays in the group. It does not go anywhere else. Nobody else sees your stuff. And because that's really important to me. I wanted it to be a nice, safe place for everybody to do. You know, you can talk about anything you want in that group.
Yes, it is. It's amazing. And the one thing that I want them to know about the book, it is LGBTQ, but it's not based in it.
Don't think that it's an LGBTQ book.
It's not. It's so much more, and it's not the typical vampire book. It really isn't, you guys. Mm-mm. It's not. It's
refreshingly new.
Yeah.
So don't. That's why I don't like the fact that. Okay, granted, we'll use it. Okay, the whole LGBTQ. Fine, we'll use it, but it doesn't need to be there.
No, it really doesn't. But it really doesn't. It covers quite a few areas, and it's a surprise at every turn. At least I tried to make it that way, and I wanted to give you women empowerment. And
thank you for that.
You're welcome. But,
honestly, thank you for that, because it really doesn't get done a lot. Usually any kind of, even erotica tends to always put women in submissive positions. And it's just, no, let's start making them more powerful.
And I didn't do that here.
Oh, hell no. Oh, hell no. No, seriously, you guys have to read this book. Like, you're going to die. It's so good. The characters are so rich and so wonderful. And thank you so much, Darlene, for being on the show. I really do appreciate you being here.
You're welcome.
And everybody's going to be able to pick up the book, you know where to go, on Darlene's show page on InBedWithDrSue.com, all the links are right there so that you can grab your Kindle, charge it up, and go fall over right in time for Halloween. Sink your teeth. I know it's so cliche and so cheesy. Sink your teeth into Midnight Comes with the Dawn. I'm not kidding. It is really good.
Thank you.
Isn't Darlene a blast? I could talk to her for hours. Be sure to hit up her show page where you'll find links to her website, Amazon, and all her social media. I want to thank Darlene, of course, for taking the time to talk with me and share so much of herself with both me and you guys. Once again, I learned something new from absolutely every guest I have on this show. If you're still looking for something to do on Halloween and you happen to be in Vegas, hit up the Hard Rock Hotel on Halloween night for the 20th anniversary of the Fetish and Fantasy Halloween Ball. I'm going to be there, and you're not going to want to miss this. Get your tickets online at accessaxs.com or wanttickets.com and save $10 on each ticket using the promo code RUBBER. And be sure to head to Amazon and grab your copy of Darlene's book, Midnight Comes with the Dawn, The Vampire Plague, which is perfect for Halloween Eve reading. I'll be seeing some of you in Vegas this weekend, baby. And until the next In Bed with Dr. Sue, remember to celebrate the difference in all of us. I love you guys. Have a safe and happy Halloween, happy Samhain, happy Thanksgiving, happy Diwali, happy holidays, my freaky friends. Bye.